Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
One for Carvajal. Ronaldo right on the scene. That's all he needs is a half inch of space. 90 seconds into the second half. And it's all square in Munich. 96th career Champions League goal for Cristiano Ronaldo, more than any man in history.
Cristiano Ronaldo today takes the game over in the second half today. And if you watched it today, Champions League was pretty enthralling. Ronaldo, Real Madrid, 2-1 winners over Bayern Munich. Game of two halves tonight. We're going to talk about it. We'll have Fox analyst Warren Barton on the show as well. Again, 713-780-3776 is the number here today. We can also talk about Juventus's 3-0 demolition yesterday of Barcelona. But the topics are endless. Again, we stream at ESPN 975. The call-in number is 713-780-3776. And we are also doing a little bit of Facebook Live here. So try and engage you in any way we can here. Don't be afraid to call the show. Don't be afraid to debate. Either myself, the callers, agree, disagree. Again, 713-780-3776. You can hit me up on Twitter during the show. We'll read some of those. Glenn Davis Sock. And let's get after it tonight because there's just so much to talk about. I mean, we can break down this Real Madrid-Bayern Munich match here today. How quiet was the Allianz Arena in the second half? What did we learn from this? So, 25th minute, Arturo Vidal smashes in a header. And I mean smashes in a header. Completely unmarked, 25th minute. 45th minute, he goes to the penalty spot. Now, that's a penalty he doesn't deserve. Nonetheless, it's a defining moment in the first leg between these two teams. He hits a penalty that, from my last notice, it may be floating in the Rhine River. It was somewhere in the Black Forest region. He blew it so far over the top. And then 90 seconds into the second half, Ronaldo scores. Now, think about the way Cristiano Ronaldo played today. In the first half, did a lot of defending, had to contend with Lahm, had to contend with Robin. Second half becomes a central player. Doesn't have to do the work ethic and all that running. And he's in and around the penalty box, and he takes the game over. And by the way, to just remind ourselves of how great that guy is, he doesn't get a lot of the ball in the first half, and he still almost scores right at the end of the first half. He makes plays. So, you know, you're going to hear a lot of, and we've talked about this on the show before, that Cristiano Ronaldo, he's redefining his career. He's not going to be the slashing winger that is beating people off the dribble like he once did. And he scored all these goals, remember, starting from a wide position. But he knows how to score goals. He can get on the end of crosses. He's got a ridiculous vertical jump. It's amazing in the air. Can create space for himself to get shots off. So Cristiano Ronaldo is a hero today. I don't think there's any question. So after 90 seconds, he ties it up. Javier Martinez gets sent off. He gets two yellow cards in less than 2 minutes. He graduates Clown College with flying colors and puts his team at huge risk. Bayern down to 10 men. If not for Manuel Neuer, they're not even in this thing in the second half. Comes back from injury. I think he makes 10 saves. And then Ronaldo's game winner, he basically hits it with the sole of his foot. Straight leg, sole of the foot. And Bayern are lucky to be even going to Madrid in the Bernabeu with an opportunity. We can also talk Juventus because their performance yesterday, absolutely spectacular. Hart goes out to Dortmund having to play. It's kind of sad that they had to turn around and flip it and play right away after this. But that's the fact. They get beat at home. And I don't think there's any question, being in a bus with three explosions going off and glass blowing all over the place, I would think would be in the head of anybody, without a doubt. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Who are we starting it off with tonight, Tyler? Let's go to Jason. Jason, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, you'll never walk alone. First of all, thoughts and prayers to, you know, everybody involved in the Borussia Dortmund thing. That was scary, and I'm glad no one was significantly hurt, but still it's one of those things where you just don't like hearing about those sorts of things. The world's a scary enough place. That doesn't need to be any more scary, you know, around a football match. But I wanted to talk to you today a little bit about your broadcast. Excellent broadcast, by the way. Looked like we had a real good turnout at BBVA, at least from what I could tell from the broadcast angles. But I wanted to get your take a little bit more on this deal that was worked out with the women's national team. I wanted you to touch on that and kind of go into a little bit more detail, if you would, and I'll hang up and listen.
We can talk collective bargaining agreement. I don't think there's any question. There's been a lot of relief around that for the U.S. women's national team. Increased pay, increased conditions flying in planes. If you're coming from Europe, you're going to be in first class. You know, I think we'll probably do a whole segment on that tonight. But I do think that, you know, from being around the national team this weekend, and they absolutely destroyed Russia here. And I think one thing we saw, that what the difference is in world soccer when it comes to the women between 2 and 25. There's no question the difference is massive. Athletically, the Russians couldn't keep up with the U.S. The U.S. scores 9 goals on them in 2 games. But you could sense there was a real relief around the players and everybody involved. Julie Foudy did a piece with a number of the players at halftime. They feel very proud of standing up for what they believe in and coming out of this with a lot of positives. And I think the other thing they continue to remind us of is that they're trying to set an example for other federations around the world who, by the way, are way, way behind the U.S. I don't think there's any question. But there is a lot of rallying around the fact that they fought for this. They got through it. They're going to have more compensation. I don't think there's any question. Bonuses as well. They call it lifestyle benefits when it comes to travel and hotels, because that was always a big thing. They always thought that the men's side were getting better, better per diem, you know, which is a daily amount of money that you get for meals and things like that. Greater financial support for players who are pregnant and adopting kids. So there's a lot that they feel pretty happy about here in leading this. And it was impressive to see, you know, the Becky Sauerbruns and a lot of the U.S. players talking about the sort of their mission here to make sure that they would get some of the things they need to move the sport forward. And again, they leaned on the fact that they're trying to set the tone for future generations of players. So there you go. Back to the Champions League. I do want to get quickly, and we'll take your call, 713-780-3776. What's the biggest Champions League result out of the quarterfinals that you saw here in the first leg? Was it Juventus's 3-0 win over Barcelona? Is it Real Madrid getting back in this one against Bayern Munich? Was it Monaco with a 3-2 win at Dortmund? Leicester goes down 1-0 to Atletico Madrid, so they're still in the tie as well. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. A couple of minutes I just did momentarily before getting on the show with Sal Mitha of Talking Foosball. He was at the game between Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. Here's what Sal had to say from Munich, Germany. So just after this one ends at the Allianz Arena, Sal, what was the mood like? I mean, you were here, you were live, you were there.
Glenn, it seemed like the air got sucked out for the last 30 to 40 minutes. So there was nothing like all of a sudden everyone just piled away. It could have been empty for the last 40 minutes. After Ronaldo scored, after Ronaldo scored at the beginning of the second half and after Javi Martinez got sent off, none of the fans believed. They were just shaking their heads. They were quiet. And from that point on, they could have just left right then and there because they knew that Ronaldo and Real Madrid were in control.
How much of this do you think fans are going to put on the missed penalty kick at the end of the first half from Arturo Vidal?
To me, that was the tale of two halves. It wasn't halftime. It was before the kick and after the kick. Before that, Vidal and Thiago, they controlled the action, the way they were throwing the bodies around, the way they were controlling the action. And Real had their moments, but you felt Bayern could probably win this. But then after the miss, it was all Madrid. And if it wasn't for Neuer, who fortunately was back from his injury, amazing stops. Otherwise, we would have seen 5-6-1. And it was a good way to hold themselves after going down a man. But after that, Modric, Marcelo, they were influential. But in the end, it was Ronaldo and his 100th goal.
Yeah, Ronaldo was unbelievable, and he was playing more as a center forward in the second half after doing a lot of defensive work in the first half. Yeah. What's some of the reaction from you know the pundits in Germany outside of yourself as to what went wrong here today? And the other thing is you know do they believe they have a shot in the second leg because Neuer kept them in it?
Well, he definitely kept them in it. Now, Glenn, 2-1 is not a bad loss, but. Oh. And I think all my contemporaries would agree with me. They needed a cushion going to the Bernabeu. Whenever they needed to win there, they've always lost. And so they needed to go into that second leg with that advantage. But now they need two goals. And can Lewandowski score enough? I mean, is he going to be 100%? Is he going to be able to score enough? And can Neuer repeat that performance and stop Ronaldo? The way, I mean, think about some of those saves. He said he was just awesome. But, you know, a couple of inches here and there, Bale has a couple of goals. And Ronaldo has another one and the other one. So the only good thing is that we only have to wait till Tuesday to see what happens. And for me, it has to be Müller. I mean, where was he tonight? And, of course, Thiago and Vidal in the second half. How could you disappear like that? You know, they should have kept the pressure on. I give the credit to Ribéry and Robin, but they're not young enough. They can't control, sustain that for 90 minutes. So a lot of things went wrong in the second half. They're going to have to correct that.
How much criticism has there been of Thomas Müller? Because I thought he struggled to be fair.
No, last night was indicative of what's been going on this whole season. You know, the joke is, you know, it's goalless Thomas, and how he's been struggling, and you know, he could he be a decoy? You know, that's one of the things about Ronaldo that was just so amazing to watch him. You know, Glenn, I know you want great analysis, but I was a fanboy tonight. To see Ronaldo from 2006 in the World Cup for Portugal and at Man U, watching him beat Arsenal. I was lucky to be there. And to see him beat Bayern 4-0. And then tonight, the way he draws in and sucks in the defense, he's still able to make his teammates play well. Müller needs to do that. And he did that during the last few seasons. Something's amiss this year. Could it be an injury? Could it be just his mental state? Not sure what's going on. And he needs to turn it around.
Sal Mietha, talking football from Munich, Germany, here tonight, was at the Bayern Munich Real Madrid game. How much criticism is Javi Martinez going to get for these silly yellow cards in the span of less than 2 minutes?
You know, Glenn, you get on that pitch against Ronaldo. What are you going to do? Now, that's the key is that, you know, Javi Martinez is an experienced player. He shouldn't make those plays. But, you know, I even saw Boateng get schooled. By Benzema. The defense was, I think that kind of changed things around. And of course, that the yellow red by Javi Martinez, he didn't get criticism for that, but it was against Ronaldo. It wasn't like a normal player. It was a stupid mistake, but how were you going to stop him? There was just no way you're going to stop him. They were just trying to hold their own. They felt the momentum slipping away. Javi Martinez just stuck his foot out or stuck his, you know, coming in that foul. And from there, they were down a man.
That's Sal Mietha talking football in Germany. Sal, thank you as always for all your comments.
Always a great time to talk football.
So that was Sal Mietha, and he brought up Thomas Müller, who really did struggle. They missed Robert Lewandowski in such a big way here today. I think we do have a caller here. Okay, well, let's get it. 713-780-3776 is the number here. 713-780-3776. Philip, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi there, Glenn. I had a question about yesterday's game with the Barcelona Juventus.
Yes.
After you know that first goal that they scored on them, and then the second goal, did you think that the Barcelona players in the first half were not, you know, as hungry for like defending, or what is your mind that went wrong?
Well, I think they do have struggles defending. I think it's more about what went right for Juventus. The work ethic that Massimiliano Allegri got out of his team, the marrying of the balance of when they pressed and when they defended was absolute perfection. When they attacked with conviction. They had an incredible performance from Paulo Dybala. If we all saw this young talent, I mean, we were all, our eyes were like saucers watching this kid. I thought Mascherano struggled immensely. Sergio Busquets, his absence was clearly missed. They were able to contain the big three to a degree. I thought Dani Alves absolutely put the clamps on Neymar. Matthew at left back for Barcelona struggled. They got pulled all over the place defensively. So I think this was a master plan that was pulled off to perfection. And I think you have to go right to Massimiliano Allegri, the coach of Juventus, who, ironically, maybe Barcelona is going to try to take at some point. And here's another really interesting thing for people that are really geared into analytics. Because we go overboard on analytics sometimes. There was only 33% of the possession from Juventus in this game. Yet, I always felt, for the most part, for large portions of this game, they were in control of the game based on where they were applying pressure and what they did without the ball. So it's just a reminder that analytics and optics and all the stats, they don't always quantify what's going on. And you do have to use the eye test and you have to use your lens. And I think that's important. But I think this was all about Juventus. Nobody's ever going to count Barcelona out, but I think Juventus and the way they play, I don't think this time Barcelona is going to pull this off. Thank you very much for the phone call, Philip. 713-780-3776. Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm are personal injury attorneys that bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-4878. So you don't want to have a lawyer, but if you do here in Houston, car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, you drive an 18-wheeler, doesn't matter. John Daspit's going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm will work for you 24-7, fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. We got a great night in store here. We got a lot of in-studio guests. I'll tell you about them when we come back. More to come, including Warren Barton of Fox. We'll take your calls at 713-780-3776. Best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, rest in peace, Jay Giles. Passed away, the famous Boston rocker. His band was named the Jay Giles Band. If you remember, Peter Wolf was out in front of them. That may ring a bell with you. It may not. Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that really matter, and that late night stories are best served cold. So as you swing by your friend's apartment or you head to the bar for happy hour, make sure you grab some ice-cold Bud Light. Make tonight tomorrow's story, because with Bud Light, you're not just drinking beers, you're building friendships. Bud Light is a proud sponsor and official beer of the Houston Dynamo, also a proud sponsor. I'll tell you what, Bud Light's been behind me from the word go when I transitioned this program from public radio into mainstream. So they were a huge reason why we were able to get this on the air. Also, quick word here for Liberty Kitchen. You know I'm passionate about food. Liberty Kitchen knows how to serve up lunch, supper, and dinner. And you remember last week we had Liberty Kitchen in the house here. Great burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried. It's American comfort food. It's farm stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen stamps its claim on and owns. Big flavor served at a neighborhood social. Liberty Kitchen staples include deviled eggs topped with fried oysters, Dixie fried chicken, Creole gumbo with crab meat, all kinds of meats, grilled chops, cowboy surfer po' boys, steaks, ribs, and fish. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop. Liberty Kitchen locations are in the Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, and Treehouse Memorial City. So we thank very much for their support of this program. All right. Tell you what, let's get right now to Tyler. Let's get right now to Warren Barton of Fox. Warren and I had a discussion prior to getting on the air here tonight. He couldn't come on live tonight. So here's our talk a little bit about Bayern Munich and Real Madrid and, of course, Juventus's big win yesterday over Barcelona. Let's start it off right away with Bayern Munich, Real Madrid. Interesting game that seemed to change after the missed penalty from Arturo Vidal, which I think all of you guys on your panel at Fox did not believe was a penalty. Neither did I. But this was kind of a game of two halves here.
Yeah, very much so. I think Bayern Munich dominated the opening part of the game, and their style of football, even without Lewandowski, which was a big blow for them because he's been in quite outstanding form this season and throughout his career at Bayern Munich. But the way that they retained the ball, particularly in midfield, the high press that they had with Vidal closing down didn't allow Real Madrid to get any rhythm. Although Real Madrid was their own enemy by turning the ball over quite comfortably and quite easily. But again, that penalty decision was a big call. When you're making that sort of call, you've got to be 100% certain. Again, going back, then maybe this video evidence can help out and let the officials maybe just give it 5 seconds to have another look and to make this call and get that call right, because it obviously had just hit Cole's shoulder. It wasn't a handball. And maybe as a soccer gods are looking down, Vidal misses it and balloons it right over the top of the goal. And that was just before half-time. And it gives Real Madrid and Zidane some time to regroup and refocus. And they looked a totally different team when they come out in the second half. They looked a lot more adventurous going forward. And then obviously with Ronaldo, he tucked away a wonderful delivery and put it away and put the game then in the balance and put a bit of doubt, obviously, in Bayern Munich's mind, which they don't normally get at home in particular. They've not been beaten for 13 months at home in Europe. So, they're obviously very, very confident to go and win this game. But Real Madrid have got a great pedigree and responded very well after halftime.
Yeah, Javi Martinez sent off as well. I want to take you back to Cristiano Ronaldo, though, because in the first half, he was playing a lot more in the wide areas where he sort of carved out this unbelievable reputation. He was not very effective there, wasn't getting a lot of the ball. In the second half, he really played as a center forward. I think this is the future for him, right? Because not only can this guy leap and deal with crosses, but he can make space, get his own shot off. I mean, isn't his future now as an out-and-out center forward?
Yeah, I would say, but also, you played the game, man. He was playing against Philip Lahm and Arjen Robben, and I think in the first 45 minutes, they was excellent. Ancelotti said to Philip Lahm, you are one of the best right-backs, full-backs in the world. Go and play there. I don't want you to play midfield like you did with Pep. I want you to play out there. And they had a great understanding. And, Ronaldo was having to come back as Gareth Bale was, again, having to try and double up and help their own full-backs by nullifying people like Philip Lahm, who was pushing forward. So a lot of his job in the first 45 minutes was trying to maintain Arjen Robben and Philip Lahm down his own left-hand side, Bayern Munich's right-hand side. But you are correct. He's lost that explosive pace which he had, as he would do when you expect to get older. But what I believe he's done probably in the last 6 to 8 months is simplified his game. He's not looking to take people on. He's more of an assist guy now, although he's got 2 goals today. But you're right. I think he's a lot more effective in the game playing down the middle, because when you are in the middle, you're not having to make that 30-yard run, that 40-yard run as you would do as a winger outside player. You're making that 5-10-yard dash in there. And also you can use that knowledge in his brain and that movement, how he got the goal in the first one where it came out. He took the defender away from the goal. Then he cuts across and takes a shot in, and he's clinical in front of the goal. He scored 100 goals in Europe, which is phenomenal. And over, I think it was 586 goals he scored in his career. And that's remarkable. When you think most of that, Glenn, he's played on an outside position, not in the middle of the field. But I do believe that he could get another 3 or 4 years playing, not possibly the number nine, but in between that 9 and 10 position where he can play alongside someone.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. That's what I was actually getting at, but I do understand what you were saying in the first half. He had to do a lot of defending.
Yeah.
But what a remarkable soccer player he is, and in the second half made so many plays, if not for Manuel Neuer. I mean, Neuer's kept him in the tie, right?
No doubt. I mean, his first header from Benzema, where very much similar to the Gordon Banks against Pelé header going many, many years ago, where it bounced back. And and then his shot from Ronaldo when he just stuck his arm out there, his header from Gareth Bale. But then he lets one squirm through his legs. But, they'd had, I think it was 26 attempts, Real Madrid, and 10 of them and 10 saves he'd made in that game. And four of them, probably, Glenn, or three or four of them, are world-class saves. So without him, and you know, when they did go down to 10 men by Munich, what Real Madrid really well was kept the ball moving. They kept their players in areas. They didn't over-embellish individually and just wore them down in midfield and just kept passing and movement. But if it wasn't for Neuer, this tie would have been over. But, you know, Bayern Munich have got character. Lewandowski will probably be back. And they won't be overall going into the Bernabeu. They're not a team like a Leicester or that type of team that's not been there before. A lot of these players have been in this environment, the experience that they've got. So this tie's not over, and it could have been over if it wasn't for Neuer.
He's Warren Barton of Fox. By the way, I loved that you brought out the fact that Ronaldo scored the second goal with the sole of his foot. And just kind of stabbed it in there.
Yeah, I mean, it was a wonderful delivery. But what made it hard for Neuer, because he stabbed it into the ground and then it skipped up in front of him. And, you know, that's another technique. We see Benzema had one in the game as well, where he toe-poked it. You know, we tend to look at these world-class players and say, oh, the ability they have with their feet. But, you know, young kids can watch that. Young attackers can say, well, if I can just get my stud on the ball and poke it in, then I've got a chance of getting it on goal. And it just happened to go in. But he improvised really, really well.
All right, let's go back to yesterday. Juventus with just a sparkling match over Barcelona, 3-0. I just thought this marrying of when they pressed and applied pressure higher up the field to moments when they defended was just spectacular. And, of course, Paulo Dybala was just magical to watch in this.
Yeah, I mean, me and Brad Frieder was having a conversation on the show about, you know, they looked at PSG and see how they pressed against Barcelona, pressing at the right time, not allowing them to play out from the back. And if you sit back off Barcelona, even now some of their players are getting older, they can still kill you. They can still hurt you, as PSG found out in the last round. What they did. But I think what they did really, really well was pick their right moments. They waited for a ball, whether it was a slow pass, whether it was a missed control, whether it was a square ball, that's when they pressed. It wasn't all the time. It was just at the right moments. And the energy that they showed in Dybala is a player. I played against Juve, and he reminds me of Del Piero, not in the sense that, you know, he's taking people on, but just finds areas, and he's clinical. You know, he's only a young player, and people have put him in that mould of Messi, and he's not a Messi, he's not a dribbler. He's one of these players that's got wonderful technique. And as I said, he reminds me a lot of Del Piero, the great Juve and Italian player that I played against, that doesn't need a lot of space to punish you. And I think his two goals showed that. He drifted into areas. He used PK as a screen to get it on target. And he's growing into one of these wonderful players. And I think Allegri is a great coach of getting the best out of experienced players, where maybe Dani Alves was let go from obviously Barcelona and can get a year or 2 years out of him. But then he has one or two younger players that he nurtures on, and him and Ancelotti are one of the best man managers in the world of getting the best out of players. And Conte at Chelsea, you know, that Italian theme is coming to the forefront at the moment. But a really strong performance. And then they've got, which I find, Glenn, which is great as a defender, they've got defenders that want to defend. It's not about, can I pass that from the back? How many times do I start? But people that actually like to defend, and a goalkeeper that will save the ball. He's not worried about passing it out the back. He said, I'm going to save the ball. I'm judged on how many goals I save. And Gigi Buffon has been a credit to his profession and to the game, because he loves to save goals. And that's what a goalkeeper and a defender should do. They should love to defend.
I think we lost for the moment there, Warren Barton. That's okay. He was about to finish that interview up anyway. A couple of things to talk about here. In Juventus and Paulo Dybala, just spectacular. Edgar Bauza is out as the manager of Argentina. The Argentine FA let him go. Less than a year in charge. Argentina's in real trouble in CONMEBOL World Cup qualifying. Hard to think about a World Cup without Argentina. By the way, you know who's very happy today? Is the Masters winner, Sergio Garcia. You know why? Because Sergio Garcia, he is a big, big Real Madrid fan. So Sergio Garcia, very, very happy about what happened with Real Madrid today, and they'll take the advantage going into the second leg. U.S. women played here in Houston. Did you go to the game? There was 11,000 people there. 5-1 win over Russia. Crystal Dunn had two in that. Mallory Pugh, Rose Lavelle are going to remind you that this is going to be a very different World Cup team in 2019. I think one thing we have to be very honest about, there is a huge difference in gap and void between a number two team in the world and a number 25 team in the world. Truly enjoyed calling the game on ESPN this last weekend. We'll talk Houston Dynamo tonight. Coming up, we also have Andrew Wenger's going to come in studio here, the Dynamo striker slash midfielder. He's out in our infamous green room now, probably sipping some clear water as he prepares for this weekend's game in town as Minnesota. I've got a pair of tickets to give away to the Dynamo Minnesota this weekend here, which I've been flashing on Facebook Live. And then later on, the Houston Dash will open the NWSL season. We will have them come in here tonight. Melissa Henderson and Amber Brooks will also be here. I want to get your thoughts on the U.S. Hosting the joint bid with Mexico and Canada for the 2026 World Cup. There's no doubt it's coming here. What do you think about that? Because you know what? The Mexican press absolutely is destroying it. Why would we be only getting 10 out of the 80 games? Country of our stature. Hugo Sanchez saying it's below our dignity to be involved in this. There's a lot of very interesting things going on. What do you think of the joint bid, and what do you think of the fact that when that comes to the U.S. in 2026, there's going to be 48 teams here? Are we watering down an incredible event that has a lot of integrity because it's played every 4 years? Are we trying to get too many teams into this thing? I'd like your thoughts. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I also want to throw out there something that maybe crosses into mainstream a little bit. You saw that Mark Cuban was trying to get Tony Romo the opportunity to play in an NBA game for the Dallas Mavericks. Now, we all know Mark Cuban is the king of marketing and promotion. Is this a publicity grab? Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, put the kibosh on it because I think for obvious reasons that it would probably demean the product. But shouldn't Cuban be allowed to sign whoever he wants and play him for one game? Cheap publicity grab? Clickbait? What is it? What do you think about it? What would you think if the Dynamo signed J.J. Watt to play in one game? Wouldn't that demean the Dynamo product and Major League Soccer or James Harden? 713-780-3776 is the number. What do you think? Mark Cuban wanting Tony Romo to play for the Dallas Mavericks. Does that just tell us where the Mavericks are? 713-780-3776 before we go to break here. Quick hit here for the King's Court. Soccer fans, the real soccer pub in Edo is the King's Court right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. 13 TVs at the King's Court. They show Premier League matches, Dynamo matches, La Liga, Champions League. King's Court has 24 taps, full bar, extensive selection of spirits, wonderful pub food. King's Court, that's where I hang out after the games. Rooftop deck and patio, they sit right in the shadow of BBVA Compass Stadium. Go down there, say hello to Jay. It's kingscourttexas.com. By the way, that place rocks before Dynamo games and after because El Batallón's in there. So it's a lot of fun. There's live music. There's bands. There's people celebrating wins because the Dynamo are 3-0 at home. And I'll tell you what right now, sixth caller, you get these two tickets to the Dynamo against Minnesota this Saturday. Sixth caller right now at 713-780-3776. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Live in studio, Andrew Wenger of the Houston Dynamo coming up.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hola,
starts risking. And it's fallen here to Mbappe. Can he seal it now? Mbappe! Oh, what an accomplished finish! They had the two-goal buffer, and that one could settle it tonight, and that one could settle the tie. And very much now, a Champions League semi-final spot beckons for Monaco. They are 3-1 up at Borussia Dortmund in the first leg.
So that's Mbappe. He had two today. He's one of the young rising talents on Monaco. Monaco gets a 3-2 win at Dortmund. I don't know how these guys on Dortmund can play after three bombs were detonated near their bus. They were apparently told they had to play. I can't not think that was not in their head here today. So a little bit difficult there, but the Champions League is going to roll on because they want, I think, not to allow anybody to get any competitive advantage. The other thing is,
you have to commend
thank
them
God.
For that.
Nobody got hurt, Andrew.
You have to commend them for playing.
Absolutely.
Like standing up in the face of just continuing with your life as nothing else has happened. That's pretty awesome.
That's a strong statement for sure. Yeah. Let me just hit two sponsors here, and then Andrew Wenger's going to join us here, and we're looking forward to having him on, and we appreciate him coming in studio. Azure Salon. Let me tell you about Azure Salon in the heart of River Oaks and West Ave Shopping Center. Stylist at Azure Salon. Keep me, and believe me, they don't have a lot to work with, but they keep me looking sharp for TV. Azure Salon is the place to go. Guys can get your hair done at Azure Salon. Ladies, they got you covered with colors, cuts, extensions, things I don't know about. Azure Salon, AZUR.com. Do you love donuts and helping hungry Houston kids? The third annual Shipley's Donuts Dash Benefiting Kids Meals will be on Saturday, April 22nd, a two-mile course featuring a donut-themed obstacle on a family-friendly route near downtown Houston. It's the sweetest fun run in town. All right, Andrew. So Andrew Wenger, Houston Dynamo, joining us in studio here. Let's just talk a little bit about the differences overall in this team this year. Differences in the manager, differences in the makeup of the roster, because this is a team right now that really is very different and playing 180 degrees different than last year.
Yes, yeah, certainly. The team's very different, but I think everyone coming in understood what was going on, the makeup of the team, and what to expect. So I think at a certain point, if you're able to manage expectations, that sets a good tone. And I think that was made clear to us from the beginning. And everything's clearly there's hiccups. It's a long season. We'd like to win all our games, but there's a process that they've put us on, and I think the team's working towards that.
So let's first talk about, because one of our callers and people listening on Facebook, they want to talk about the locker room. It's a very, very different locker room. Mm-hmm. It's a much more foreign locker room. Tell us about it, because some people had concerns of what was going on in the locker room last year.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is last year and this year, there's always good people in our locker room here in Houston. In the time that I've been here, there's never been a bad apple, in my opinion. I think at times, like over the course of the year, you get guys that speak Spanish and want to be able to know what's going on in the passing drill, so they congregate together. And it's hot in the summer and something's not going well. It's easy to make excuses that this, this, and this are happening because of this. But that's not the case. And we have a good locker room. Everyone's fighting for the same cause. And, yeah, it's been good.
Let's talk about the competition, because without a doubt, the competition has been ratcheted up by the quality of players mm-hmm. that Wilmer Cabrera and Matt Jordan have brought in this year.
Yeah, I mean, for me in particular, I can really only speak for myself, but I think I've played well this year so far. But I haven't played well enough to crack the lineup on a consistent basis, and that kind of speaks to the team they've put together and is a good challenge for me to try to get out there and make a statement that I need to be playing.
Do you feel it's heightened your game a little bit? Because, look, 35 minutes you had prior to coming in and getting the start in New York, you played very well against New York. You demolished New York here 4-1. At the end of it, they didn't even look like they wanted to know. You got your first start, but, man, it's thick and heavy for the three-set striker position on this team.
Yeah. I mean, when guys are scoring goals, it's hard to knock them off, and that's great for us. We want to score as many goals as possible. And everyone needs to be scoring goals, and that's fantastic. And, I mean, just for me, it's just doing it consistently. And it's a long season.
Has it heightened you? In other words, now that you know there's more competition, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying you're not always competitive, but
yeah.
sometimes what's around you brings the best out in you. Does it definitely feel like something tangible this year that you feel that this is a fight to get more playing time?
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think about that, I guess, on a daily basis. Just kind of go out there and play and try to play the best way I can. And maybe try some things at times to make a statement, but it's just kind of playing. I mean, it's not something I'm thinking about consciously.
By the way, Andrew played at Duke University and was a defender, was a striker. One year you were the ACC defender of the year, and one year you were the ACC forward of the year, attacking player of the year. It's incredible. Tell me a little bit about that and your time at Duke and how that prepared you for Major League Soccer.
Yeah, my time at Duke was great. Great coaches, great atmosphere, great playing style. But playing all those different positions then and when I was younger probably really didn't prepare me that well for playing professionally. I kind of jumped around to a bunch of different positions for several years in MLS, always saying, like, he's probably better somewhere else. If I was playing X, it was probably better at Y, which is not the best way to be productive. But that's something you can't go back and change, so just making the best of it now.
Well, it's a feather in your cap as well, though, because in some ways your versatility is something that's appealing to coaches in MLS. I don't think there's any question, right? Even though you may not want to be noted as the versatile guy, but Jeff Cameron's made a pretty darn good career out of being the versatile guy.
Yeah, he's done very well with that.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a testament to you. All right, so artificial surface. I'm always very careful to temper my thoughts on games on the stuff. And I don't want to ask you a question about this because I wish it was standardized in MLS where there could be none. And I know that's not a possibility for so everybody in Seattle and Portland or any of you listening in, don't get crazy. But how different is the game to you? Because for me, when I watched you guys in New England, it's a very different game.
Yeah. For me, watching the game, like, I was on the bench, I'm engaged in the game and thinking, there's a couple things that go into that knock us off. I think it wasn't our best game. We understand that. We're trying to fix that. But just in a different sense, first off, the game's on the road. Never easy. Playing in New England, the crowds aren't the best. It's not a soccer-specific stadium. And the weather there was, I mean, not crazy. It was good for New England, but compared to what we're used to, it makes it all a tough game. So, but the turf there is probably one of the, we'll call it subpar. But I'm thinking about this the other day. We're talking about Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. just submitted a bid. How many games are going to be played in Canada? Because the men are not going to play on turf.
10. So, and they won't play on turf.
So they're just going to play it?
They'll change the fields for sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right, that makes sense.
There's no World Cup going to be played on artificial surface. Now, they did that to the ladies, though.
Yeah.
And that, I think, will never happen again.
Let's hope not.
What do you think of that, by the way, that now that you so nicely led me into that? What do you think of a 48-team World Cup hosted by the U.S., Mexico, and Canada?
I think it's awesome. I mean, it'd be great to have the World Cup back here. It's terrific because we already have the facilities. There's really nothing that needs to be done. And there's a fan base here that MLS's fan base is growing exponentially, but the fan base for our national team is unparalleled. So I think it'd be fantastic.
Not to mention just all the people from all over the world that are supporting teams from all over the world, like today. I mean, it's incredible the amount of people, even here in Houston, that are supporting. You know, there's Barcelona supporters groups, Real Madrid, all of that. And we all hope to bring those down to the party at BBVA Compass Stadium. The way you guys have played in the first couple of games is entertaining and exciting. Is it a fun system to play? We know it takes a tremendous amount of work ethic and sweat equity. But it looks like a fun system to play in when it's working because you can suffocate people, the 4-3-3.
Yeah, it's great to get up there and get up and down the park and try things. Granted, I'm not playing one of those three central midfielders that are really putting in a lot of sweat equity, but it's fantastic when it goes well, and it really should be going well more often. I mean, we just haven't played up to the level we'd like to over the course of the game consistently.
Probably the game you were in was probably your best 90 minutes from a consistency standpoint, New York, the 4-1 win?
I think we played well that game, and probably part of that is we were very good at pressing that game. We can always score more goals. We probably could have been a little bit more clinical, myself included. But, I mean, pressing, starting from the front in our system, if we're able to press properly, it makes it much more exciting for us because then we don't need to run all over the place and we're winning the ball in better areas.
He's Andrew Wenger joining us here in studio. We really appreciate that. It's always a better interview when people are in here and I can look face-to-face at them. So Andrew and the Dynamo will be in action this Saturday. It's a rare doubleheader. The women are going to start it off in the NWSL. Houston Dash against Chicago at 1 o'clock, and then the Dynamo will turn it around at night. I believe a 7 p.m. kickoff for the Houston Dynamo against the expansion Minnesota, who I'll get to in a minute. But I want to talk to you about the system, because what we saw Juventus do, 34% of the possession. We know that stats don't quantify things always. They had a blend of moments when they defended a little bit deeper, moments when they pressed, and they married these two things together beautifully. When I watched this game, I just said, the way they're implementing these two ways of playing, it's to perfection against Barcelona.
Yeah.
Is this sort of the challenge with the Dynamo now with this pressing system? How to figure out, you know, because you can't do that for 90 minutes.
No.
Minute one to 90. You're not going to be able to do it in the heat. So is that one of the challenges, finding the balance between moments when you're going to press and moments when you might have to absorb a little bit?
Both pressing and also when we're trying to possess the ball a little bit. There are times where we're pressing the ball and we're turning, and then we're going the other way a million miles and turning it over again, which can't happen every time. I mean, I thought it was interesting watching the Juventus game that in the 30th minute they're up 2-0 and everyone was in 30 yards of their goal defending. But it comes from the coaching staff and everyone being on the same page, because if one guy starts trying to do something on his own, it ruins the whole system. So might as well either be deep together or high together, but just do it together.
Yeah. How would you term your team? Because I term it a team that, you know, I hear people go, well, it's a counterattacking team, and I vehemently disagree because it's a pressing team as well. It's a team that's capable certainly of both, and I would say the third element is to become a little bit better possession team.
Yeah.
How would you term it?
I don't know if I'm going to let you put me into a corner here about terming it in something in particular, because I think it's evolving. I think we're doing some things now, and I think over the course of the year, especially in MLS, you have to continue to evolve, because otherwise teams figure you out, and it's too easy. Like, look at Seattle last year. They brought in Ladero, and it changed the way their team played halfway through the year. They weren't very great beforehand, but they evolved, and it threw teams off a little bit. So I think we need to continue to evolve. Right now we're doing some very good things that are great, but maybe later in the year we need to do some different things. So
what's the message in New England? Because, you know, you were forced to break a team down that was defending a little deeper. To their credit, they did get good pressure on the ball. Mm-hmm. And again, it was there were differing circumstances, not excuses. But what was maybe the lesson learned in that game? Because I know as you go game by game, you're learning lessons with a new team and all these new players, and there's a ton of positives as well. We know that.
Yeah, I mean, we made some bad defensive errors, but really it starts from the front there. If we're holding the ball a little bit more higher up, we're bringing people into the play, and then guys are just taking chances as we get forward, sometimes putting a defender on their heels. Those are things we've talked about and trying to sort out. It's also a game on the road. Things happen. It's a long season, so we're not overthinking it too much. But seeing a team that drops back and gives us space and lets us run at them is going to happen again this weekend with Minnesota. So seeing how we adapt to that and take on that challenge is going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's the tactical sort of setup for this weekend. I appreciate you saying that because I think that's what makes the game interesting. On another note, if you guys ended up not with the two self-inflicted mistakes, you get a draw. Everybody's going, hey, look how good the Dynamo defended in New England. So this is how sort of close this is all cut when it comes to results.
Uh-huh. And people always have something to say in the short term, but we're playing over the course of the season.
All right, before I let you go, one thing that really impressed me, Andrew, you got this thing called the First Pass Initiative going on. You started this on your own. I really commend you for that, and I want to say thank you very much because you've literally taken the initiative. Tell us about the First Pass Initiative.
Yeah, thank you. It's just a program working with after-school children in the Third Ward. It's a joint venture between the Houston Dynamo Charities and the Forge for Families. Just playing soccer with kids, teaching them soccer. They might not see soccer in their lives on a daily basis. And then also doing some after-school classroom work with them. Kids got to come see a game, the New York game, actually, which was great. They all had a great time. And hopefully we'll have lifelong Dynamo fans.
Rewarding for you?
Yeah.
Tell me how it's rewarding to you, because these moments can very much change people. I do a little bit down at Texas Children's and seeing pediatric cancer patients definitely makes me look at life differently.
Yeah, it's just cool to see, kind of live in a bubble, play soccer on a daily basis, show up to work, do work, go to games, do everything like that. But it's cool to see how I can affect other things in a sense. And also, some of these kids are quite good soccer players over the short time that we've worked with them, how adaptable they are and how well they've learned the game.
Looks like you're putting a lot of smiles on little kids' faces down there. That's got to be rewarding.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right, Andrew, thank you so much for coming in tonight. Andrew Wenger, he's in action this weekend. The Houston Dynamo taking on Minnesota. Had a great game against the New York Red Bulls in that 4-1 win. And, boy, that was a beatdown on the Red Bulls. Let's keep it going at home, right, Andrew?
Absolutely, let's go.
Dynamo 3-0 at home, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. That's where you get them. We thank Andrew Wenger for coming in here tonight very much. We will take a break here. Andrew, don't go away because I want to ask you something once we get off the air here real fast. Quick reminder here, Liberty Kitchen. They know how to serve up lunch, supper, and brunch. Think of it as modern American comfort food, classics taken up several notches. Great burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, farm stand, crisp food that Liberty Kitchen will stamp its claim on. They'll own it. Deviled eggs, fried oysters, Dixie fried chicken, Creole gumbo with grab meat, grilled chops, cowboy surfer, po' boys, steaks, ribs, fish. You name it, they have it. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop. Here's where their locations are in the Heights. You'll get the Austin feel there. I go to that one a lot. River Oaks, I go to that one a lot because it's close. Rice Village, not as much, but I will. Garden Oaks, I've been there. Treehouse Memorial City, really cool architecturally. All right, thank you very much, Liberty Kitchen. We'll take a Bud Light break. More to come.
Go down, then we go down together. They'll say you could do anything. They'll say that I was clever. If we go down, then we go down together.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.